Today we're going to be sharing on water baptism, at least for a portion of the message. Right now we have 5 people who have signed up to be baptized in water. That's awesome. That is awesome. If you've never been baptized, my prayer is at the end of this message we're going to have more, and that you would sign up as well to follow Christ in water baptism. Who gets baptized in water? Those who come to faith in Jesus Christ. Those who have asked Jesus to forgive them of their sins. What is faith? You hear the definition of faith a lot. The Bible does encourage us to have faith, but what is the power of faith? The power of faith is not about having just a hopeful or wishful thinking in something. The power of genuine faith relies in what? The object or place is in. That our faith is placed in, does it not? I can have faith all I want that I'm able to fly, for instance. If I jump off the building, what's going to happen? I'm going to hit the ground. How about if I really, truly, 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 truly believe I'm going to fly? You're going to hit the ground, right? Doesn't really matter. What if we place our faith for the future and our hope for the future in our own ability to work? Many people do that. Then what can happen? Company goes out of business, move to Mexico, doesn't it happen? Happens all the time. In this economy, so many people are being laid off. You understand, if our faith is in our employer or if our faith is in ourself, we're going to be disappointed. Because faith needs to be placed in something greater than ourselves and our ability. Who should we place our faith in? Jesus. Jesus Christ. This is the theme of life. Listen, how are we saved? We're saved by grace through faith in Christ. Are we not? Am I good enough to go to heaven? No. Are you good enough to go to heaven? No. You're not. None of us are. See, the story of the gospel is not that we clean ourselves up and you go to church and you try to memorize the Bible and all of a sudden you end up good and God lets you go to heaven. The story of the Bible is none of you are good. You'll never get good. You're completely hopeless. And the only thing that we can do is cry out to God and say, forgive me. And that's exactly why Jesus died on the cross, right? To forgive us. Our faith for salvation comes through Jesus Christ and Him alone. Our faith to provide for our family comes to Jesus Christ alone. Amen? Our faith to have any kind of a future, both here and there in heaven, is through faith in Jesus Christ alone. It's all founded upon Christ. None of it is founded upon ourselves. The Bible uses the term born again, which means that we're changed, that we're... When we become saved, the Bible says that there's physical death in our lives. We're born physically, we're going to die physically. Right? To be born again is to be born spiritually. To find Jesus. Right? And once we're born again spiritually, we will never taste spiritual death. Because we'll be with God in heaven forever. When the Bible speaks of believing in Jesus, it speaks of life-changing, life-transforming belief. It literally means that we turn from our old life. The word repentance is a word the Bible uses that we use quite a bit around here as well. It means a change of mind. It means literally to do a 180, that in your life, if you're walking towards sin and your goal in life is to follow your own wants and your own desires and your own lust and your own anger and just to fulfill your own heart. In other words, I've heard the phrase taking care of number one, and number one is you. If this is your life, to repent of your sin means that you change completely around and all of a sudden it's not my wants, it's Jesus' wants. You understand? We live for Jesus. We live to follow after Him. We live to please Him instead of ourselves. Do you see a difference? We live to follow what He wants. We live to hear His voice. We live to make Him pleased and not just ourselves. As Christians, there are 2 practices that Jesus commanded the church to follow. That when we're saved, we get together as a church and we worship Him. There's two things we are to follow and regularly do. Those two things are also known as ordinances. There are two ordinances that Jesus established. One was water baptism we're going to address today. The other is communion. There are two things that Jesus told us to do as a church. Water baptism and communion. Water baptism, I'm going to give you some blanks on your paper now. You can flip over your bulletin. If you want to be baptized, you definitely need to fill these blanks out. Water baptism, what is it? Well, the definition is, water baptism is an outward sign of an inward grace. It's an outward sign of an inward grace. What does that mean? That means Jesus did something within us, right? He saved us, and because He did that, we get baptized. You understand? Baptism tells the world that Jesus changed us from within inside. Does baptism save you? No. Baptism does not save you. Baptism is an outward sign of an inward grace. You're saved, you receive the grace of Christ, therefore you become baptized. If you get baptized and you haven't asked Jesus to forgive you and you haven't received His grace in your life, the only thing you're doing is taking a dunk. Right? That's it. At best, you're taking a dunk. At worst, you're mocking God. So it's a pretty serious thing. We want to be serious about the Lord. Water baptism, some more blanks coming up. Water baptism declares to the world. Water baptism is public, by the way. You do it and other people see you do it. That's kind of the whole point. Water baptism declares to the world that a person has placed their trust that Jesus' sacrifice, His death and resurrection, paid for the sins of their past. Water baptism declares to the world that people have placed their trust in Jesus, that His death and resurrection paid for the sins of their past. Your blanks are trust and past. We trust that God took care of our past, right? We asked Him to forgive us, and we trust that He forgave us, that He washed us clean. Water baptism also declares to the world that we have pledged to obey Him in our present. Obey Him in our present. When we're baptized, that means today, as Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua said that he will serve God no matter what. Part of water baptism is saying, Jesus took care of my past. I trust Him. I pledge that I will obey Him in the present. And the third thing you hear, we placed our hope in Him for our future. Our hope for our future. Water baptism means that God, again, took care of our past, right? We live for Him today and obey Him. In our future, we trust to Him. You don't get baptized and live life on our own. We get baptized and we walk with Jesus, right? Because Jesus has changed us. It's sad that sometimes so many believers, so many Christians come to faith in Jesus, they accept Jesus, and then they begin to walk life by themselves and they leave Jesus at the front of the church. Jesus wants to work in your life, am I right? The Christian walk is awesome. Living with Jesus is awesome. Water baptism is a sign. It's a sign of it's an outward sign of an inward grace, and it shouts to the world that Jesus took care of my past. He's with me in the present, and He's my hope for the future. And we follow Him. Amen. Do you have that? Amen. Moving on, water baptism speaks of a believer's new identity as, the first one is a child of God. A child of God. I have some references there. I'm going to read the verses to you. Romans 6:4, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, we also live new lives. We were died with Christ, and just as Christ was raised from the dead, we also live new lives. You get the symbolism? When you go into the water, it's like you're dead to your sins. And when you come out, it's like being alive in Christ, symbolic of Jesus going down into the tomb and coming again. Do you see that? Okay. Anybody not see that? Okay. Anybody eat turkey today? Look like you're already sleeping, like we have a turkey thing happening here. All right. Colossians 2:12, "For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. And with Him you were raised to new life because you trusted in the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead." Almost the same wording. 1 Peter 3:21, it says, "The baptism which now saves you, not by the removing of dirt from your body, but as a response from a clean conscience. Baptism is effective because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ." That's 1 Peter 3. Again, it speaks of your new identity as a child of God, that you died with Christ and you have been raised to walk in the newness of life. Do you see that today? Right? You're a child of God. You died with Christ and you're raised to walk in the newness of life. Do you get the phrase new identity? Right? That you're different when you receive Christ. The Bible says you're a new creation. You're different. You have a new identity. The second part of this new identity is not just as a child of God, but it's as the church of God. The church of God. And the church is the family of God, not buildings or programs, just to let you know. When you become a Christian, you become a child of God, as John 1:12 says. "To all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the rights to become children of God." That's awesome. You also become a part of the church. The church is the family. Is the church the building? No. The building is a building. Is the church our program and our schedules? No, it's not. The church is the family of God. If you look around, this is the church. This is our church. Just take a minute and look around, everybody. Go ahead. This is our church. Olga's like, "What's up, church?" This is our church. So that's why in worship, when I can say, "Come on, church, let's worship God," I'm not saying, "Come on, brick and mortar, worship God." Okay. Like, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, people of God, worship God. Do you get it? When you become a believer, you become a child of God and you become part of the church. That's awesome. What an awesome thing. That you get a new family. Now, I don't know about you. You might not really care too much about this, and I hope you do. Maybe you don't get the depth of this. But there's so many people who have bad families. Who, when they become part of the church, it revolutionizes their lives. So many people had a mom who was absent that wasn't really there. And when they become part of the church, the older women in the church become like mothers and they help shape them and guide them and pour wisdom in them and teach them how to cook and clean and do all the things that they didn't get to learn from their real moms. Sometimes there's men in the church, listen, even more and more today than ever, there's men that grow up without fathers. And they never even got to see a grown man shave. They have no idea how to be a man. The church is where we rally together and we help, and the men in the church come and they become shining examples to the young boys to teach them how to be a man of God. Do you hear me today? I think some of you have no idea how important you are. Some of you think you're too important and God needs to knock you down. Because you're important in the worldly sense and you're no good for God, because you can't be important in God's kingdom when you're so worldly. We need to humble ourselves and realize all the stuff we lived for before, it's nothing. Paul says it's poop. I can prove it to you. I preached on it a few weeks ago. All of my good works is nothing. It's garbage. It's cow dung. We humble ourselves and we worship Jesus. And at that point, the Bible says if you humble yourselves, God will exalt you. He will lift you up. And then you can be what He's called you to be, a shining example into the lives of of everybody in the church, including young children today. God has great things for your life. So often we're over here thinking we're important and we totally miss out on what God's called us to do. Water baptism symbolizes the new identity we have. We're children of God, but listen, we're also the church of God. Don't let the TV guy lie to you and tell you you can sit home and watching some guy on TV is good enough and better than going to church. Can that guy preach better to me than me? Probably. Do I care? No. Right? Because it's not about that. It's about being a part of what God has ordained in the world. Can you hug your TV? You could, but you would be considered a freak and they might put you in jail for it. Try that at Best Buy. What are you doing? I'm thinking about buying this one and I have to see how it feels when I hug it. It's not going to work. Can you nurture somebody through your TV? Can you be an example to a young person of how they need to live and serve God? No. There's some fools on the radio that tell you that the church is no longer how God is working in the world. I think it's 106.9 or something, the family radio guy. Yeah, he's crazy. Okay, he's just crazy. You can mark that down. Pastor said he's crazy. The church is what God has ordained to proclaim His name to the world. Think about this. The dude says this, okay? Here's a good way to know if somebody's crazy. The question is, do they want this? Okay? Do they want my wallet? The dude says, stay home from church and send me your offering. Okay. No. No. It's all about money, right? Help us spread the word to the world now. Be a part of the living church, man. It's the body of Christ. Paul says that we're all members and part of the body. Truth is, we function well when we come together. It's awesome. We're all different. Just look around, man. We're different. Different education levels, different jobs, different careers, different ethnicities. Right? Different accents. Right? We have Spanish people, South Jersey people. Pennsylvania people, I sound like I'm from Kentucky or something. I mean, we have different things happening all over the place. It's beautiful when we come together and serve. Don't miss that. Water baptism is the public symbol, public declaration that we have a new identity. We're children of God, but we're part of the church, man. We're part of the church. And if you don't serve, you're missing out what God wants to do in your life. And you might sit back and say, what is this abundant life people are talking about? And the guy on TV says, give me $1,000 and the Lord will triple it or whatever. It's actually more than that. They'll say 100,000 times or whatever. And you'll get 1,000,000 back and that's abundant. That's not abundant life. Right? Abundant life is peace and joy in your heart and you serve God and you're a part of something greater than you could have ever imagined. That is awesome. Serve God. Serve God. First Corinthians 12:13 says, we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, for we all share the same Spirit, all together. Galatians 3:26, for you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on the character of Christ, like putting on new clothes. This is awesome. He says, there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham, you are His heirs, and God's promise of Abraham belongs to you. Awesome verse. He says, once you become a Christian, there's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, whatever. And let's put it in our vernacular, okay? Once you become a Christian, you become a part of the church, there is no longer rich or poor, there is no longer Spanish or Anglo or black or American Indian or Chinese or Mongolian or whatever. We're all Christians, right? There are no barriers between us, am I right? That we serve God together, we become part of this beautiful heavenly family, which is a glimpse of what heaven will be like when every nation is there and every tongue confesses that Jesus is Lord. It's just a glimpse of that. Church is awesome. Don't miss it. There no longer needs to be barriers. And Paul even says in his passage that we end up with the promise that God gave to Abraham. You don't have to turn now, but later on, look at Genesis 12 and see God's promise to Abraham that Abraham's seed would be a blessing to all the world, and that's part of us. We're included in all of that. That's awesome. That from a long time ago in the Bible, things are written to speak about us. We're children of God, children of Abraham. That's awesome. And we look forward to the new life that Jesus is going to give us. One faith, one Lord, one baptism. Your italicized thing, I'm going to give you your blanks for that, and then we're going to move on. It says, unless a person has first believed and been cleansed by the blank of Christ. What do you think that is? The blood of Christ. Unless a person is first believed and has been cleansed by the blood of Christ, water baptism means nothing. But for the one who is truly born again, cleansed by his blood and justified, baptism becomes not only a testimony, but also the pledge that we will continue to live a new life in the power of the risen Christ. A lot of blanks there on purpose. Baptism becomes not only a testimony, but also the pledge, the vow, the promise, the commitment that we will continue to live a new life. In ourselves? No. In the power of the risen Lord, risen Christ. Amen. Water baptism is in Scripture all over the place. I have tons of Scripture. If you want to see them, I will show them to you later. I don't have time to read all of these, but there is a lot. There's a lot. It's biblical. Why do I have so much Scripture? Because I've had people not want to get baptized because they don't think they have to get baptized. It's in the Bible big time. Matthew 3:6, they confess their sins, and he, John, baptized them in the water. Do you see? Confessed, baptized. John said, I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. Matthew 3:11. Mark 1:4 and 5. The messenger was John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness and preached that people should be baptized to show that they had turned to God to receive forgiveness for sin. Baptism shows they've turned to God and received forgiveness of sin. Luke 3:7 through 14. When the crowds came to John for baptism, this is neat. When the crowds came to John for baptism, he didn't just baptize everybody. He did this when he knew people were coming and they weren't saved. They didn't care. They didn't have a heart of repentance. They weren't following the Lord. See, sometimes in church, we want to allow everybody to do everything, and we don't want to call sin, sin. When people came to be baptized, John didn't just dunk everybody and say, we love everybody. Woohoo! Look, we just grew by 5,000 people in our church. John said this, he was so nice. You brood of snakes! You don't say that if you want to be Mr. Popular. Who warned you to flee from God's coming wrath. Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Don't just say this stuff. Don't just talk the talk, but walk the walk. Is basically what he said. We need to be people of repentance. Later on, the crowd said, what should we do? He said, if you have two shirts, give one to the poor. If you have food, share it with those who are hungry. Even the corrupt tax collectors came to him to be baptized. They said, what should we do? He says, collect no more taxes than the government requires. In other words, stop stealing from people. If you want to get baptized, stop being a crook. Ask God to forgive you, and your life should be changed. The soldiers came. Roman soldiers. What should we do? Don't extort money or make false accusations, he said. Be content with your pay. Why? Because they were accepting bribes. In other words, he said your life should be different, right? Jesus came. He was baptized by John. If Jesus was baptized by John, you need to be baptized. And I need to be baptized. Jesus also established baptism as the ordinance of the church. Here's the passage where Jesus said, do this, Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do you see that? Go, preach, baptize. Mark 16:15-16, Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. Those who refuse to believe will be condemned. Go, preach, baptize. Do you see that? In the book of Acts, we see that the disciples were faithful and they actually baptized people. Acts 2:38, after the day of Pentecost, Paul preaches the first sermon ever. They said, what must we do? Acts 2:38. Each of you must repent of your sins. Do you see that? Turn to God and be baptized to show that you have received forgiveness of sin. Turn from your sin, repent, be baptized. Acts 2:41, they baptized people. Acts 8:12, people were baptized. Acts 8:36, Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch. They stopped the chariot. They baptized the man right there as soon as he got saved. Baptized him, went down and came back up in the water. Acts 8:19. Paul, the Apostle Paul, saved. If you remember the story, it says that his eyes had something like scales that fell off. He found Jesus. Acts 9, read it later. He got up and he was baptized. Acts 10:48, with Cornelius, God sent Peter there to proclaim. They were baptized. Lydia and her household in Philippi. Remember, I preached their series in Philippians? They were the first converts of the church. They received Christ and they were baptized. The jailer in Philippi. Remember, Paul was arrested because he cast a demon out of the demon-possessed girl. Went to jail. After the earthquake came, they were set free. The jailer got saved. He was baptized. In the middle of the night. Acts 18:8. In the church of Corinth, they believed, became believers, and were baptized. Paul in Ephesus, Acts 19:5, as soon as they heard this, the verse says, they were, fill in the word, baptized. How dare we say we don't have to be baptized? Jesus said baptized, right? Who should be baptized? Since it's commanded by Jesus, everyone who repents of their sins or to be baptized. What's the mode of baptism? We use one particular mode of baptism, that is the method, how we do it, and that is full immersion. That is, we immerse you under the water, we go down and come back up. The Greek word for baptize, baptizo, literally means to immerse, to drench. We don't sprinkle as a church because we believe that immersion is the picture that really describes the Bible best. Romans 6:1-4 gives us this picture of immersion. Well then, should we keep on sinning to show that God's grace, so that God can show us more and more of His wonderful grace? He says, of course not. Since we've died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism? We joined Him in His death. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Did you get that? Dead with Christ, like in the tomb? Under the water, symbol of dead. Jesus was dead in the tomb. It's symbolic of us being dead to ourselves. When we come up, it's a symbol of like how Jesus rose from the dead. We rise out of the water to new life. Do you see that? That's why we do full immersion under the water and come back up. Our formula is the one that Jesus gave us in Matthew 28:19. He said, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We baptized with that formula in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit because Jesus said to. Some churches baptize in the name of Jesus only. If you have questions about that, I can share with you some of my notes and we could talk about that later on. We use what Jesus said to use, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, they baptize, it says, in the name of Jesus, but that isn't referring to Jesus only. Jesus is God. And also, it literally means the authority of Jesus when they baptize in the name of Jesus, because Jesus said, all authority is given to me, therefore go baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Praise you, Lord. Moving on, I just want to talk briefly about some stuff that has happened in the news lately that I felt the Lord was leading me to share. We've discussed water baptism and its importance. It shows the new life. All of us, we have seen in the news some famous deaths lately, haven't we? Most notably in most people's minds was Michael Jackson. Right? As I've seen the coverage, and I saw a lot of coverage on it, people arguing about all kinds of crazy stuff. No matter what, no matter if you love them or not, you see in his life two sides, don't you? You see the 1980s pop star that had everything in his life. Didn't he? He had everything. Didn't have Jesus, but from a world's perspective, the man had everything. Money like crazy. Then we see the other side of his life, where there are accusations of child molestation twice. But not only just that stuff, but we see a person who was tormented, I believe. The multiple nose surgeries where his nose used to be, like, I never thought it was huge, but his dad and his brothers used to make fun of him and say he had a big nose. Be careful what you make fun of your children with. Because he went through his whole life with surgery after surgery to the point where his nose was finally bent in and out, where he wasn't content with himself. He was tormented by that. We see him as a child music star, and he was, like I said, hugely famous, on top of the world. Then we see the strange part of Michael Jackson. He lived with a monkey, remember that? He had numerous plastic surgeries, he had an amusement park in his background. He used to have sleepovers with kids. He lived in an incubator. Remember that? He was planning on living to be 150. In the 90s and early 2000s, he had allegations of child molestation. He defended himself, I think 2002-ish, when he came on TV and he said it's natural to have children in your bed. Do you remember that? The news clip, and you think that's not helping, Mike. Talk to your lawyer, man. It's not the thing to say. He married Elvis's daughter. It's just kind of didn't last long. It's different, you know. It's okay. He used to cover his mask, covered his kid's mask, hung his kid over the balcony. Do you see that? You see that? Now, why do I say that? Not to mock him. I think he was a tormented soul. But I want to say, you see somebody who was on top of the world, everything was going well, and then all of a sudden, it just all fell apart, right? Do you see that? It all, are we there today? It'll go a little faster if people are there. Are we there?
Yeah.
It all, thank you. It all fell apart. Okay. Thank you. All right, come on, bud. Second, if you want to go home today, it'll help. Second example, quickly, Steve McNair. Michael Vick, too, but I'm not using that one. Steve McNair, the quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. On top of the world, man, as a player. Steve McNair, one of the best players who ever played quarterback in the NFL, just from his toughness. Big dude. He, with his willpower alone, was able to march his field down and march down the field with his team and score touchdowns. He was in the Super Bowl. I think that's the famous play when the guy caught the touchdown pass and he like landed on the half yard line or whatever at the end of the game where they almost won the Super Bowl. On top of the world. Beautiful family. 4 boys, I believe it was. Beautiful wife. Everybody knew him and loved him. Had a foundation that he started to help needy people. What happened? If you don't know the news, he was shot and killed on the 4th of July. They found him murdered on his couch in his apartment. Shot 4 times. So the person who did it was really, really trying to make sure they did it. Then they found, listen, he was there with another woman. They found the body of a 20-year-old girl. They thought it was homicide. As they're moving the bodies out, they discovered the gun underneath of her. This girl shot him and killed him, pulled the gun on herself, shot herself, died and fell. It came out that he had a whole other life happening. He had a girlfriend, married 4 kids, beautiful family. This past year or so, Steve McNair and his life went in another direction. You can see the two sides of his story. To the point where if you saw Jeff Fisher, his coach, that he was a coach of him for like a dozen years, knew his family. Jeff Fisher was so broken up that he came to the podium and he said he was trying to think about what to say. Did anybody see him after the thing? He said, I thought about it, and this is what I think Steve would want me to say. He said, the Steve I knew would say to my wife Michelle, I'm sorry. He stood to the podium with the Tennessee Titans logo behind him, and he said, the Steve I knew would say to my 4 boys, your dad is sorry, and he loves you. And he kept going on saying, the Steve I knew, dot, dot, dot. I heard that and I just couldn't help but weep because here's the thing. You saw somebody that had everything and it all fell apart. Michael Jackson had everything in the world's eyes and it all fell apart. I just felt the Lord speak to me. It's not what you're doing at this point. The whole thing is how you finish the race, man. Will you finish well? Or will you allow yourself to get caught up and say, look at me. I have all this other stuff. It's not about where you are now. It's how you finish your life. Do you hear me today? Don't get comfortable where you're at. Will you finish this life well? So many people, maybe you today, maybe most of us today, you have a past that was bad. You have things that you asked Jesus to forgive you for, and He saved you and He's cleansed you, but you don't want anybody to even know about it. That Jesus has done so much in your life that maybe He's delivered you from drugs or alcohol or beating your wife or whatever. But I want you to know the gospel message is Jesus gives us a new start. That He washes our past away. It's not how you start the race. It's not how you end up in the middle. It's how you finish. All of us will come to the finish line of life. For some of you, listen, it could be this afternoon. I hope not. It could be 50 years from now. You don't know. Michael Jackson was trying to go to bed. He didn't know that was the finish line of his life. Steve McNair thought he was just sneaking away from his wife with his girlfriend. He didn't know that was the finish line of his life. Your finish line is coming. On your tombstone, there will be a birth date and there will be a death date, and the only thing that you have is the dash in the middle. How fast is the dash? Well, when they name a race after dash, it's the quick race, isn't it? It's the 40-yard dash, 50-yard dash, 100-yard dash. I don't know how long the dash is in your life. But the question isn't how you start. If they shoot the starting gun and you stumble, the question isn't any of that. The question isn't, what if you get tired in the middle? The question isn't whether you sin. The question is how you finish the race. My question for you today is, will you finish well? Will you finish well? How do we finish well? Here's the deal. Listen close, please. We need to be real with Jesus. Amen? We need to live for the Lord. If you don't know Him as your Savior, you need to stop sitting on the fence and you need to come to Jesus. Because you don't know how your life's going to end up. You need Him. You need Him. If you've been bad to your kids and you know it, and you know that you've hurt your children, there's still time for you to fix that. It's not how you started, it's how you finish. There's still time. Pray. Ask God to open doors. Do you hear me today? If you've made mistakes in your marriage, there's time for you to fix it. There's time for you to fix it, but you need to stop and you need to get real with Jesus. It's how you finish the race. That's what's important. How you finish the race. Will you finish well? Or will you just allow yourself to get caught up and cheat on your spouse or not love your kids or be lazy or get fired from your job or whatever and you have all these consequences? Finish well. Do what you're supposed to do. Get real with God. Love Him. What does this have to do with baptism? Simply this. Water baptism is the first thing Jesus tells us to do out of the starting gate of our new life. We receive Him. We ask Him for forgiveness. The first thing He asks us to do is to be baptized. The people who I'm thinking of that went out of the starting gate with Jesus, they came up to the obstacle of salvation, which shouldn't even be, or water baptism rather, it shouldn't even be an obstacle. But they're like, no. I don't want to do that. I don't think I should have to do that. Well, that's fine, because you're here, I shouldn't have to do it. Jesus is up here on His throne, I told you to do it. I don't think I have to do it. Do you see the arrogance? Do you see the pride? We know better than Jesus. Guess what? Those people, not serving Jesus today. Did they finish well? No. How do I know? Because I'm friends with them on Facebook. You can judge a lot by people's pictures. Absolutely. You can judge a lot by what people put on their info page. What's your favorite music? Ooh. What's your favorite movies? Ooh, would you watch that with Jesus next to you? Ooh. What's your favorite game? Love beer pong, huh? Oh. Oh, not good. Not good. And guess what? They're not serving Jesus today. Water baptism is the first thing, man, with your new life. Don't let this get by. Don't let this... If you're ready to receive Jesus, you need to do this. It's not about what you want. I don't care what you want. Like Jesus don't care what I want. I care about what He wants. Jesus didn't ask me, what do you think? Should we do water baptism? If it was up to me, man, we'd be changing stuff. Be like, Lord, I think it'd be easier if we did this and this, you know. It's Jesus. It's what He wants. Will you finish well? Will you finish well? We've all lived long enough to see both parties, haven't we? Haven't we all lived long enough to see people that love God whose lives just fell down the toilet, and we sit back and we say, what happened? We've all lived long enough to see pastors who were in ministry, and all of a sudden stuff happens and you're like, train wreck, what happened? Even with them, there's still time to change and turn back to Jesus. But we've all seen relatives who we could say they were doing so well in church, and they fell away. The devil wants to destroy you. He hates you. He wants to trip you up and see you fall. Will you finish well? Will you be determined to finish well? If you're here and you want to be baptized in water, what I want you to do is mark that on your card. On the back side of your communication card, check, I'm ready. I want to be baptized in water. Let's get ready and pray, though. If you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, let's bow our heads at this moment, and I'm going to pray and lead us in a prayer. We don't have a lot of time here. I'm looking at the clock. But you know what? This is your chance to receive Christ and to begin a new life with Him. If you're here and you've never asked Him to forgive you of your sins, or it's been a long time, if you're here and there's just stuff between you and God and you know you need to get it out, you know you need His forgiveness today, I'm going to ask you to do something really simple. I'm not going to call you up or anything. But what I'm going to ask you to do is from your seat, lift up your hand as a way of saying, I want Jesus. I see a hand. Anyone else today? Listen, I see another hand and another. I'm not here trying to work something up in you. That's the Holy Spirit convicting your heart. That's God who knows your death date, who's speaking to you, drawing you. The question is, if you need Him, will you respond? Anybody else today? I just want to lead you in a prayer. But you must acknowledge your need for Him. I see another hand. Anybody else today? Hallelujah. If you're here and you're committing your life to Christ and you're asking Him to forgive you, let's pray this prayer with me. And listen, mean it. Mean it. If you pray with all your heart, Jesus will meet you. If you just mumble words and you don't care, nothing is going to happen. If you need His forgiveness, I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. The power is not in my words. The power is in your heart repenting and calling upon Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, I know that You died on the cross and You rose again from the grave. And I know that You didn't die for Your own sin, but that You died for my sin. You took the beatings I deserved. You took the punishment that I really deserve. Lord, You see my life. You see my list of sins. You see how many people that I've hurt. You've seen my language and You've seen my heart. While other people see me dressed up and looking nice, You see that my heart is exceedingly wicked. I pray, Jesus, that You would forgive me. Forgive me. Wash me clean. Change me. Help me to repent of my sin. I repent. Meaning I go the opposite direction. That from this day forward, with Your strength and power, I will no longer walk that life. And I will follow after You. Thank You for saving me. Thank You for giving me Your Holy Spirit. And help me to be hungry for more of You. And to know what it means to be a real child of God and a Christ follower. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, for those of us here, you've determined that you want to live well, you want to finish well. You understand, listen, with all that I have as your pastor, listen, I love you as a church. I love you more than the guy who's calling you on your cell phone right now. I love you as your pastor. Listen, with all that I have, I want to see you finish well. If God, in His providence, I hope it never happens, but if God in His providence has me do a funeral, and if it is your funeral, Lord willing, it won't be. But if it were to be, I hope that we could open up the Bible and I could preach about Jesus saying, I'm going to build a mansion. And I hope I can boldly proclaim, listen, that you're in your mansion in heaven. Do you hear me today? I hope that I can proclaim that we know you're in a better place. Listen, some pastors lie. I won't lie. I'm not going to say I know you're in a better place when we saw the fruit on your tree. I won't lie. As I stand in judgment of God and hold up the Word, I want to preach that we know you're in heaven with Jesus. I want to have a bunch of people come up and say, so-and-so showed me what it meant to be a faithful Christian. Listen, I want to have your children come up and say, my dad showed me what it meant to worship Jesus. Do you hear me today? I want to have your children say, my mom showed me what it was to live for God and to have a pure heart. You can tell them all you want, but they're going to catch more than you say. Your message that you want to say is more likely caught than taught. We can say we love God, and they look at your life and say, no, you don't. We can say God has a priority, and they look at your life and they say, yeah, not so much. We can say God is the most important thing, and you don't give Him anything. And you don't give Him any time, you don't give Him any money, and you don't even serve Him. And your kids will look at you and say, hypocrite. I might as well stay home. Do you hear me? Will you finish well? For those of you who don't have children, man, this message is just as important for you because we said that when you receive Christ, you become part of the church. Other people are looking at your life. Do you hear me today? When you're here, other people are looking at your life. They will look at you and say, either that is a godly man or a godly woman or a godly teenager. Or they're going to look at your life and say, I might as well keep sleeping with my girlfriend. Because I'm more holier than you. I see your life, man. You're a wreck. I'm not talking about pride and pretending. None of us are perfect. I'm talking about being real and passionate with Jesus today. Do you hear me? I'm talking about finishing well. This is what I want you to do. And we're going to pray. We're going to pray right now. But if you're here and you're saying, as a believer, I pledge through Christ's help and power that I will finish well. That I will finish well. That if the Lord should wait on His return at my viewing, people won't have this good life, bad life thing. People won't say they love the Lord, but what's this stuff? People will say, even if they say he had sin, but Christ saved him and brought it from it, that's an even awesome testimony. It's how you finish the race. If you're here and you say, through the power of Christ, I want to finish the race well, and I determine to finish well, I want you, think about this, don't just do it. But if today you say, I am determined to finish well, I'm going to ask you in just a second, hold up, for you to take a stand in your seat and begin to worship Him, and I want to pray a special blessing over you that God will help you. Don't just do this because the person next to you is standing up. If you're here and you say, I want to finish well, if you're here and you say, Pastor, I want you to pray that God will help me to live for Him with everything. that I will live for Christ and be an example of His power and be an example of a person who sold out for Him and His kingdom, then I'm going to ask you to stand. Let's do that now. If you're here and you're taking a stand and you say, I want to finish well, I want to pray for you, we're almost done. We're almost done. Hallelujah. Jesus, I pray right now for the church today, God, the family of God, a Solid Rock Worship Center within these four walls that stand and say, God, that we will live for You and that we will, through the power of the Holy Spirit, finish well. I pray for Your special blessing, God. I pray for Your boldness. I pray, God, for a hunger for the empowering of the Holy Spirit. God, that we will hunger after You, that we will live for You every day, and we will not allow ourselves to be caught up in the things of the world. Steve McNair was caught up in the things of the world. Michael Jackson was caught up in the things of the world. So many Christian men and women we know have been caught up in the things of the world, have fell away to drugs and alcohol or just hard heart or profanities, and their life was a mess. We proclaim today that we want to finish well. Finish well. That when You take us home, the only thing that is preached is Jesus Christ changed the life. And that our life simply preaches Jesus and doesn't preach a love for self, that doesn't preach a love for the things of this world. We pray today that You would help us, God, to finish well, to finish well, to finish well, to point to You in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen to me. The Lord wants to work in your life so much. I love you as a pastor. I love you as a friend. And I know that God wants to work in your life. This Christian life is good. This church family is good. God wants to fill you with joy, fill you with His Spirit. He wants to fill you with His presence even as you serve Him and live for Him. He wants your family to love you more. He wants to give you a good testimony. He wants to give you things that you can't even imagine. And the devil has us caught up in ourselves. Don't allow him to do that. Live for him. Live for Jesus. Amen? Amen. And when you do that, you'll look back at the end of your life and say, I can't imagine what God's done. I see it, but it's ridiculous. God has done so much in my life.